off we go then, and it is to a major, major star and somebody that we've all grown up with. Absolutely lovely to be able to say a very warm welcome to Johnny Briggs. Johnny, thanks very much indeed for giving us this time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for asking.
Well, you know, the big thing is that I want to try and contact as many people as entered our lives over the years that we've all grown up together. And, of course, we're out here on the Costa Blanca with our memories. And, of course, you have had a phenomenal career. Most people, of course, will remember this marvellous portrayal of Mike Baldwin in Coronation Street. But, of course, you know, it's far more than that.
Yeah, I did about 50 films before I went into the street. And then I also did you're probably too young to remember, No Hiding Place, Lock Arthur the Yard.
Yes, I do remember, sadly.
Well, I played a detective in that.
Well, I mean, reading through, obviously, the stories that I've got in front of me, I'm going to go back right to 1947. And you actually won a scholarship, didn't you, to the Italia Conti Stage Academy?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Now, my year was Anthony Newley, Millicent Martin, Nanette Newman.
I mean, they're huge names. And, of course, you don't really think of the connections of the likes of yourself into those sort of areas. What was Anthony Newley like, for example?
Oh, he was very quiet, and he's very nice. He was one of my best friends at drama school. And we used to kick around together. So it was, he was great fun, but quite quiet.
Yes. Well, I'm looking at your own professional debut. Now, we hear of these child stars. I mean, quite often I'll be coming into a story and suddenly there's a tender age. Well, we keep hearing Stevie Wonder was 12 when he started. You were only 12 when you played a boy soprano.
Yeah, I was a boy soprano at the Italian operas in the Cambridge Theatre. And then the first film I did was in April 1948 on Wimbledon Common called Quartet, with George Cole. And I didn't work with George again until last year, and I said, George, we've got to, you know, not keep doing this and leaving it so long. But I did Miss Marple's with him.
Well, I mean, another fabulous name, another great memory for all of us. And, of course, I'm looking as well at an early co-star, Joan Collins.
Oh, Joan, yeah, but it was Lewis Gilbert's first film, and he directed Alfie and all that lot, you know, and a couple of bombs. And it was his first major film in England. And it was in black and white. And it was the first X-rated film that Britain ever made. And Joan was in it. She played Jimmy Kenny's girlfriend.
And of course, you know, with the advent of a part that is sort of an everyday part, if you like, in Coronation Street, it is quite difficult at times to cast our minds back and remember things like the Carry On films, because you were in those as well, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I did about four of those as well, yeah. Mm.
Now, when you'd got this...
And some Norman Wisdom films, The Bulldog Breed and Trouble in Store and...
Well, I mean, the list of accolades goes on, and I didn't realise that you'd also been with Morecambe and Wise in The Intelligence Man.
Oh, yeah, that was their first film, and it was very difficult for them because they react to people laughing, and, of course, when we were rehearsing it, they were laughing, but on a take, there had to be quietness through them quite a bit. They didn't quite know how to take it, but it was good.
Now, I want to come to this this personality, Mike Baldwin, and ask you, was there ever a time when the character takes over your life, almost so that you feel like you are that person?
No, not really. I just sort of acted it, and two different people, really. And it was a joy to work there. I mean, I used to look forward to going to work. It was lovely. And, of course, all the people that were in it were very nice to me because I knew them from when it started. I was doing a series in Manchester then called The Younger Generation, which took a year to do. And Coronation Street started in 1960, December. Mm. But it was only locally then. It wasn't national. It didn't go national for a couple of years.
Yeah. And, of course, there was this tremendous rivalry between yourself and... Ken Barlow as the character. I mean, was there something there, or did you both get on well and play the part so well?
Well, no, I mean, we were both friends, and we used to play golf together when the schedule would allow it. And he played in my tournament, and I played in his, and we played together. And no, we were friends. People couldn't believe it when they said, "You're talking together. You just hit him last night." No.
Because, I mean, we all remember that that punch in the Rovers' return, and it's a wonder you were ever forgiven by some of his fans.
Oh, I know, yeah. Well, he got a sneaky one on me in the factory, I remember.
Now, I think one of the... I mean, it must be quite strange when you have these types of things thrown back at you, but I remember, yeah, didn't you have to sack Hilda Ogden over a brush or something?
Yes, she wanted a new brush to sweep the factory with, and I wouldn't let her have one. I said, the other one's okay. She said, no, it's worn out. And I said, no, it's not. I saw it the other... It's perfectly all right. She said, well, look, and she cut some of the bristles with the scissors. And I went mad and sacked her. The next day I was shopping in one of the supermarkets, and this woman hit me with a handbag and said, hey, you give her a job back. She's a human being like you, and she's got mouths to feed. You give her a job back or you'll be in trouble.
Well, I agree with that lady, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you really get into the characters, and of course, you know, I'm sure other people have told you this, but it's our routine, you know. We used to get in, you'd rush in to maybe see what's been going on, and of course, you grew up with a series which became such a fabulous household way of life, wasn't it?
Yeah, the trilogy story with Anne Kirkbride and me, Deirdre, Ken and me, that entered all the pubs, and we had, for the first time they ever had, 21 million viewers.
That is an enormous amount of people, and of course, it must make you feel very, what can I say, probably humble to feel that you've entered the lives of so many people all at the one time.
Well, it makes you feel very, very, very humble and very grateful, because a lot of actors forget that if people didn't watch us, we wouldn't be there.
Yes. Now, obviously, reading about some of the ways that other people are portrayed within that series, it seems rather bizarre that you had a lady beat you at golf, didn't you, in the series?
Oh, yes, Amanda Barry, yes. So to keep her quiet, I married her.
And of course, the thing is, you know, like a lot of celebrities, you do like to play your golf. So,
well, as a matter of fact, I'm down your neck of the woods, June the 5th to the 8th, at La Cala Hotel.
Oh, fabulous.
It's the Rise Daniel Trust.
Yep.
And we're down there with Max Clifford and a few celebrities, and we're at the Carla Hotel and Golf Resort, Costa Sol, Spain, Marbella.
Ah, no, that's...
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's... We're Costa Blanca.
Oh, Costa Blanca, you're up the road a bit.
Yeah, but we do broadcast also to the Costa del Sol, so they will get to hear of what you're doing. So, obviously, I don't be surprised if you get thousands of people coming over to say hello.
Oh, more the merrier.
Johnny, when you go back to your career, and obviously you've got this dominance of Coronation Street, when you look back, are you really chuffed that you did that? Because you did take a chunk out of your life to make that character.
Well, yes, I mean, I was very grateful. The part was superb. And I had four children to put through school and university, and I wanted them to have a better start in life. And then I had, I mean, I never didn't do very well at school or anything like that. So I kept saying, oh, well, five more years, two more years, another 5 years. And eventually the schedule got so heavy that I couldn't really keep it up, because I was 70. And we were doing six shows a week, which meant that I was in the studio from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 in the evening. Then I had to get home, have something to eat, and learn 10 scenes for the next day, every night.
Yes,
and it was just getting too much. I thought, I'm going to be carried out of here if I don't do something. And unfortunately, I had to call it a day. But it was, I would say, the 30 happiest years of my life.
And, you know, when you left the series, you did portray a very, very emotional part of somebody's life. And, of course... you know, we all have our parents to consider, and things like Alzheimer's is quite prevalent to people in our memories and our families here as we come out on this latter part of maybe a journey of life. And of course, was that a difficult role for you to play?
Well, no, not really. I did still read the lines. It was very well written, and it was a joy to do, because I asked the company. They said, do you want to go out slowly or with a bang? So I said, well, with a bang, see if you can write something about me helping a charity or something. So the thought of Alzheimer's, because everybody in the world is affected by it in some way.
Yes, yes.
It may be a distant cousin, a mother, father, brother, sister, twin. I mean, you can have one twin that's got it and one hasn't. It's heartbreaking. So I thought I had to do something.
Well, I can tell you that an awful lot of people I've spoken to found it a very moving experience, because, as you say, so many of us do have relations that have got this problem, this awful problem. Let's move to a happier aspect then, and ask you what and how are you enjoying, if it's a retirement, what will you do?
Well, it's a semi-retirement. I retired from Coronation Street, but I haven't retired from acting. I mean, I've did Miss Marple's and a couple of Holby Cities, and then I did Echo Beach, and I did pantomime, which I hadn't done for 60 years. I did Baron Hardup in Tina O'Brien. Excuse me. Tina O'Brien was playing Cinderella's, and she was absolutely delightful.
Yes. Well, let me just tell you, on behalf of the people that obviously we broadcast to, Coronation Street has been a major part of our lives. But of course, as we look back in your career, we've got a lot of films that we didn't realise that maybe you were involved with. And I mean, I keep going to call you Mike, and I have to stop myself and saying Johnny.
That's everything friendly, I answer.
Everything very friendly. What I'll do now is I'll make a podcast of our conversation, and I put a tribute page up on my website, which I link, and I link up to the pages I can find on yourself, and then obviously if anybody else who's enjoyed Coronation Street plus all those wonderful films, etc., they can go there, and obviously we'll have memories of not only the visual side but having listened to you as well.
Yeah, one of the most memorial ones that I did was with Ursula Andress, called Perfect Friday. I played a barman in that. And, of course, Roger was in it, Roger Moore.
Yeah.
But we've done The Saints and various things he's done. I thought he was the best Bond of the lot as well, Roger.
Well, he's somebody I've written to him. I'm going to try and get him on the show. It's the difficulty, of course, is there's probably so much spam in everybody's letterbox that it's like trying to get hold of yourself. It's been a difficulty, but at the same time, it's an absolute pleasure when it comes to fruition.
Well, what you could say in the letter or whatever you send him email, say that Johnny Briggs says he wishes you would do it.
Okay, listen, I'll be on that. I'll be on that tonight. Johnny Briggs, thank you very, very much indeed for being part of our show today.
I was very, very lucky because of my dedication to the theatre. The Queen awarded me the MBE.
Do you know what? That does not appear anywhere. I've not seen that written anywhere.
Yes, I got it last year. Not this February last year. March it was last year.
And did she have any particular words that you could relay to us?
She asked me why I left, and I told her, as I explained to you, and she said, oh, but it must have been fun. And I said, oh, it was, Your Majesty, it was great fun. And she said, oh, good, at least you enjoyed it.
I can imagine the Queen, really getting into the soaps, actually. She probably needs to relax, and I would imagine that she's probably enjoyed so many things that the soaps have to offer. Although they have changed, Mike, haven't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they have changed, yeah. I mean, I was watching an old episode the other night, and in the whole half-hour episode, there were four scenes.
Yeah.
Now, in a half-hour episode, you've got about 20 or 30 scenes.
Yeah.
And when I first joined, there was only 17 members of the cast. And when I left, there were 62. I mean, I never actually worked with Tina O'Brien. She was in it since she was 14 or 12.
Right. Do you know, you get this constant sort of question, do the soaps make things happen, or is it that the soaps reflect what's happening in society?
Yeah, that's where the soaps reflect.
Yeah, that's where you stand on this one, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Mike, well, look, thank you very much, as I say, and I look forward to possibly when you come to the Costa Blanca, maybe come and visit us at the studios here.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to come and do another interview. You're excellent at it.
Mike, thank you very much indeed.
God bless you.
All the best, and thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, isn't that absolutely lovely? Johnny Briggs and, of course, Mike Baldwin, the character in Coronation Street, giving me his time today, which I always appreciate. Back to the music, and it's 10cc. Well, good morning, Judge. How are you today? So let it be. I couldn't stop it, so let it be. I couldn't stop it, so let it be. You didn't do it. It wasn't there. You didn't want it. It wasn't there.